Jana Sawi, and this is I Never Shut Up Anyway, a podcast about the young creative scene in Egypt, where I interview some of Egypt's most creative youth. We talk about their journeys, their careers, and whatever else comes up. I'm really, really happy you're back. It has been a month and a half since I've put an episode out. I needed to take this time off for myself to rearrange, to record some episodes, to get my stuff in line. But I'm really, really happy that I'm here. Today's guest is especially impressive. I love this girl so much. Jana Berberi is a 19-year-old makeup maker. She is the CEO and founder of a cruelty-free beauty brand called Newbie, and I'm really excited for you to hear the interview. But before we get into it, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Jana Sawi. That is JanaelSawi, and the podcast Instagram at InsuaPodcast. Again, that is InsuaPodcast. Stick around to hear my interview with Jana Berberi. With Jana Berberi, the CEO and founder of Newbie Cosmetics. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? How's it going?
It's great. It's going well. Starting university again soon. It's going great.
That's really cool. How's it like been with, I've noticed people coping very differently post quarantine. Like, are you out of quarantine yet first?
No, not yet. I'm very much still into social distancing.
But I think, where are you like located? Are you in Cairo?
Yeah, I'm in Cairo currently.
I think after like they took off the like a hazard of like time, they were like you can't go out after six. After they took that off, everything kind of started like slipping back into normal.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's just a matter of like respecting the guidelines. That's what we need. If everybody just respected like wearing masks and 6 feet apart, then we'd be back to normal in no time. But it's just a matter of, you know, respecting that.
Yeah. I personally had a cathartic art purge while I was in quarantine. I did everything. I cooked, I baked, I painted, I wrote, I played music, I repainted my balcony. What was it like for you? How do you feel about, you know, the past 4 months that were like really intense?
Well, at first it was a bit difficult because I was out of uni and I didn't know what I was going to do about Newbie. So it was a lot of like confusion. I didn't know what to do with my time. So I took the time to like relax a little bit and like bake a lot. There was a lot of baking involved. And there was a lot of learning as well, I guess, because I tried to like learn as many skills as I could. And there was also a lot of TikTok involved.
I think everyone took to baking and TikTok. Like, that was what quarantine
those
was,
were,
was
and,
for
and
everyone.
The whipped coffee. That those were the main ones.
I have not tried it yet.
You have to. It's honestly life-changing.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
I thought it was, like, way too high maintenance for me. I don't have coffee in general, but, like, I have the occasional cup. So, and then I was like, I don't really... I have, like, tea, like, milk tea, that's it, that's me. Very grandma of me.
Well, that's great, because caffeine is bad for you, I think.
Yeah, long-term it is. I think anything that you can get addicted to is not necessarily
good. Yeah, you should stay away from, probably.
Yeah. Coffee and nicotine, no for me.
Yeah.
Which is funny, I think, the whole baking thing, I've noticed, I went to, so I was in, like, heavy quarantine since March, like March 10th, and then we came out of it, I think, like me and my family started going out a little bit more, seeing our family around like late June, mid-June. So it was a good 3 months. But in March, I think the first time my parents let me out of the house, I went to go get groceries. And it's like literally just across the street, and there was no one in the shop, and I had my mask on and everything. And everything was there, but hair dye, like the hair dye rack was empty and the yeast rack was empty, and it was the funniest thing ever. Everyone was dyeing their hair and baking. Like, that was the one thing that everyone did.
Yeah, it's either you dye your hair or you bake. My hair is thankfully safe right now. I didn't dye it because I got too scared, so I took to baking instead.
Yeah, baking was really good. I did a bunch of really good things. I did bread at one point. That was like in like the worst parts of it, I was like, what the hell, I have time, let's make bread. And it was really good, actually.
Well, bread is a great thing to make. Yeah.
It is. It's really fun as well.
And then it comes out all warm and then it's amazing.
Yes. But then my mom made me stop baking because we were gaining a lot of weight, like collectively, and she did not like that very much.
Yeah, well, I mean, who hasn't, honestly? Like, even my dog gained weight during quarantine, so it's fine.
Yeah, because we're not moving anymore. And we used to move a lot. Like, we didn't stay home ever. Okay. I mean, it's no secret as well about, like, since we're talking about the pandemic, that the pandemic and, like, coronavirus has negatively affected a lot of businesses. How do you think you've worked through that? Like, because a lot of people were worried about buying, because it isn't a necessity to kind of buy beauty products, and you're trying not to buy things from the outside. A lot of people are worried about, like, things being sanitized. How did you work through that?
Well, at first, when it started in March, I was very confused as to what the next step would be, especially since there was a major recession going on. And I knew that people, like, there was not as many consumers online as there would be. And then in April, it started picking back up again, and people started, like, instead of going shopping, they would go online and purchase things online. So I took that kind of as an opportunity to start. And I, of course, had to make sure I had all the precautions. So first of all, I promised myself I'm not going out anytime soon. And I'm going to completely social distance, which is what I did. And everything I purchased, from ingredients to packaging, everything is double, not if not triple, sanitized. And we make sure that everything goes out, like, very, very, like, clean and sanitized, so that we're not, like, responsible of any contaminations, you know what I mean? Like, that we need to be, because everybody, not just businesses, they need to be responsible towards others. It's not just a matter of not getting it yourself. It's a matter of whether or not you transmit it to somebody else. So that's what my main focus was, is that we needed to stay as sanitized and as germ-free as possible.
I think a really interesting thing is that a lot of people thought that a lot of businesses did go down. A lot of industries have completely collapsed. I've seen that. But as well, it's been really interesting for the online commerce industry in Egypt, especially, that not that many, like, people were online shopping before, but they were, but it wasn't this big of, like, an audience. I think a lot of people who had an online shop before had just picked it up because, well, they wanted this thing, maybe they wanted, like, because shopping is like therapy in a way, so it was like retail therapy. So a lot of people had gotten into online shopping. I've seen Sue has definitely not lost a penny. You know, all these online, big online stores have now been selling out things more, and it's interesting to see that. You'd think the businesses would die, but they thankfully, some of them didn't, because people have, instead of gotten out of it, they've been getting into it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, for example, Airbnb completely tanked in the middle of the pandemic, unfortunately. But other businesses like that are, like Amazon, for example, it completely surged. I think Jeff Bezos made around, I'm not sure, so I'm not gonna, like, say a number that I don't know.
It was a really big number.
Yeah, it was a really big number, and that I know that, like, the online commerce business in general surged, which was a great thing in the middle of, like, a terrible pandemic, you know.
Yeah, I think I do think that as a nation and as a people, we're dealing with it a lot better than a lot of other nations, which I'm really, like, surprised by. But also, there are people
who definitely.
There are people who don't care, and there are people who don't wear masks, but it's not like they're arguing. It's just that they don't care, you know? Or it's just that they're uneducated. Which is, I can take being uneducated over being educated and arguing any day. Okay, I want you to take me back all the way to the beginning of your journey. Where did this brand start? When did it start? Where did you get the idea? What was the reason that you started the brand?
So it started, like, when I was 14, I knew that I wanted to launch a makeup brand at some point. I just didn't know when. It was just an idea. Like, I remember being at home and being bored and, like, just wanting to design something. So I got out a pen and paper, and then I started designing stuff. And it was really fun. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. And then I just completely forgot about it then. And then at the age of 16, I was in Canada at the time. And I had this graduation project because it was senior year. So the project consisted of, basically, you would choose, it was called the projet personnel. So it's like a personal project where you would choose a topic, and then you would learn a lot about it, and you would do a bunch of research, like, about it for an entire year. So my topic at the time that I chose was how to make cosmetics naturally at home, because that was something that I was really interested in like, how can I make my own makeup at home? And then once I started looking into it more, I started like developing more sophisticated formulas and like being really interested in it, and not just like the home ingredients part, but like the actual professional like fabrication of cosmetics. So I had my English teacher at the time, who was my project supervisor. His name was Mr. Riccio. I will always have love for him. He was he read my project, my initial research, and he's like, why don't you do this like in real life, like for real, actually start? And at the time I was like, no, I'm too young. I'm only 16. I can't do it. It's way too big. And then he's like, well, your research looks great. You look like you have the stamina for it. You should definitely start. And so he's like, just look it up. And so I did. I looked up the regulations of cosmetics in Canada, and I looked up how to start a business, how to register a business, and generally like just started thinking about the brand that I wanted and the theme that I wanted. So I was like, I'll just do my project on it so that in the future, whenever I would like to start, I would have it there. So I started my project. I did a business plan. And I don't know why, but suddenly at some point I was like, I have to do this now. And so I registered the company in the Canadian government there. And then I just started actually working at it for real. And at the time I was like, I was convinced that I was gonna like stay in Canada for a while. So I was like, let me just start this here. So I finished my project, handed it in by the end of the year. And then I was like, let me just start it up on social media and see if it even sticks, if it takes, like if people are interested in the idea. So I started, and at the time I had my idea in mind, which is lavender was gonna be the brand color for sure, because I feel like lavender is such a universal color that it works with everything. And at the same time, it's a very, very, like to me, when I look at lavender, I see like my generation, like Gen Z, very, you know, futuristic, very modern, something that's like, it's a beautiful color, you know what I mean? So I was like, this is going to be the color to stand out. Yeah, so at the time, I was convinced that I was still going to stay in Canada. So I thought, why not launch it? And then it's finally time. Like, I've been working at this for an entire year, and I think that it's time to, you know, start things up again. So I launched it on my phone, and then I was just like, you know what, let me just put it out there, put the packaging. And I started with glosses. So I was like, let me start with it. And then I did. And then...
Did you make them at home, or did you have someone make them for you? Like, you gave someone a formula?
No. At the time, I developed my own formula. And then I was like, let me just make a few. Like, I dedicated this place in my basement at the time to be, like, my own little lab. So, like, I sanitized it, and I made sure that everything was, like, regulatory to, the like, what Canada asks for regarding cosmetics.
Well, when was this?
This was in 2018.
Okay, so that's 2 years ago. How old are you?
I'm 19, almost 20.
You're 19?
Yeah.
I thought you were like 24.
Oh my god, thank you.
Oh my god, I love... Okay, and now I'm in love with you.
Keep going. Oh, thank you. I love you too.
Talk about this later.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Then after that, I launched...
You sanitized your basement, yeah.
Yeah, so I dedicated an entire room in our basement to be the newbie lab. And so after that, I launched it, and I was like, you know what? If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And within the next day, I woke up with 2,000 new followers. And I was like, oh my god, this is great. That's amazing. Yeah. And then after, I don't know how it happened, but I was at school and my phone started, like, I remember being in French class, extremely bored. No offense to my French teacher at the time. But I remember being extremely bored. And then suddenly my phone started ringing like crazy, like 1,000 pings. And so I check on Instagram, and it had gone viral, and the entire like community that I had was insane. And it was like, it was a huge platform that I suddenly had. And at the time, I believe in 1 week we reached around 34,000 followers.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was incredibly insane, especially being 17 and seeing that number. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, everybody was dying for a launch. And everybody was asking me, when are you going to launch? When is it going to come out? And I started getting deals from... I remember it was this Drag Race TV show. It wasn't RuPaul, but it was another Drag Race TV show that wanted Newbie to be one of the prizes on it.
Okay.
And I started getting invited to fashion shows in Kenya and the US and, it was like an entirely, and schools would message me to provide like products for their competitions at school, and it was overall an insane experience. Mm-hmm. And then after, so I started preparing for the launch. I ordered the packaging, custom everything, and everything was ready to go. And then suddenly I had to drop everything and move to Egypt.
Ooh.
So yeah, that was a huge hit to me. So obviously missed the launch date, did not launch at the time. So my followers within the next year dropped by, I believe, around 20,000 followers I lost. Which, if you ask me, that's all right. It's not about the followers. It's about how loyal your customers that you have are, you know?
But still, at the time, it would have been a bad hit.
Yeah, it was a bad hit at the time. But then when I got to thinking about it again, around last year, I was like, you know what? This has been my dream for so long. I still think about it all the time. Why not start again and see what happens here in Egypt? Because I saw like a huge lack of diversity in cosmetics in Egypt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, meaning that if you wanted to get something nice, you'd either have to get it from abroad or you'd have to pay insubordinate. I don't know if insubordinate is the word. You'd have to pay an absurd amount of money to get it. So I was very like motivated to do it because I wanted to provide like the thrill and the joy and the fun of like buying new cosmetics and like, you know, there's a new collection dropping. Like, I'm so excited for it. You know, I wanted to provide that here because I feel like nobody really does like collections here, and I wanted to be one of the first to do it. So I decided, why not launch it? And so I did, and I started in Egypt, and then slowly but surely my customers started gaining more in Egypt, and like my platform started growing more, and I just fell in love with it. So I started here, and it's difficult, obviously. It's a lot more difficult than it was in Canada because there's a lot of regulations that you have to stick through, but if you're resilient, you can get through it.
It's just, I love that it kept coming back to you. Like, I saw this thing. One of my favorite authors is called Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love, but she has this book called...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, she has this book called Big Magic, and she was giving a TED Talk about it. And she kind of explained what having creativity is. And she says that a way... a lot of people, I think it was in Greece, used to believe creativity was that you had a genius, and it wasn't like a genius in your breath, in your head. It's kind of like a genie, if you want to kind of, or like a spirit that follows you around, that kind of whispers to you. And so that's kind of your genius, of like, at when you were 14, it whispered to you to do it, and then you didn't, and then it came back again at 16, and it was like, because people say if you have an idea and you don't do it, it's going to go to someone else. And it's kind of like this idea just refused to leave you, like it wanted you to do it. And it's really beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Like, even sometimes, you're gonna call me crazy, but sometimes like I'm literally sleeping and then I get an idea in my sleep and then I wake up and do it. If that makes sense. Like, sometimes like it's like this thing just whispers to me sometimes.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I wake up the next day and I'm like, oh my god, I have to do it.
I have to do it right now. How do you get the ideas for the products? Like, I get the first one was lipstick. What did you drop after that?
So after that, in Egypt, when I started here, I dropped the glow mist. I dropped face masks at some point, and then I also dropped lip oils. And then there's the serums, which I dropped.
How do you get them done now? Like, who gets them? Like, is there like a pharmacy or something? I have no idea how these things get done.
Well, right now, what I do is that, for example, like, I've been studying the fabrication of cosmetics for around 3.5 years now. So a lot of the time, like, I already know I have a formula in mind. So I start with the formula, and then everything gets researched for at least a month, you know. So I make sure that the ingredients are safe, they're tested, they're perfectly fine to use. And then after that, I have a consultant in Canada that helps me out with the formulas. Like, if I'm like, should I add in this much or that much? And like, she helps me out, you know?
Okay.
So that's like, that's a big help to me, is that like, she's a biochemist. So she knows this stuff. So she helps me out a lot with it.
That's really cool. I love...
Thank you.
It's just like beyond me that you're 19. I'm 18 and I'm mad at myself right now. But oh my god, I love seeing young women kind of like conquer the world, like not give a shit about anything and be like, I'm just gonna do it, you know, like screw that and do it. And it's a beautiful sight.
Thank you. That's generally like my goal.
Oh, that's cute. We're gonna get to that in a bit. We're gonna get to that like in two questions. But the brand is cruelty free, right?
Yeah.
So how was it to build a cruelty free brand in Egypt?
I don't think it was a question for me at first. Like, I knew that no matter what, I would never ever test on animals because it's like the name says, it's cruel, you know. So I did not want to be a brand that would compromise like animal safety in order to sell products. That's just not ethical enough for me, and I did not want to be one of those brands. So I really don't think it's about whether or not it's difficult to do. I think it's just a must. You have to do it, even if it's difficult. You have to do it. You can't just test on animals and like call it a day. It's just not something like I would do ever.
I've always wondered, what do you test on if you don't test on animals? Because I've never understood why they tested on animals, but what's the alternative?
Well, the alternative, first of all, is to, like, I try not to use any chemicals that are extremely harsh or like, you know, like those burning chemicals. And if I have to, then it depends, honestly. I usually test on myself for a period of a month first. And then after that, I do testing in like generally like people and, you know, we do like sample testing. So people with sensitive skin, people with regular skin, oily skin, dry skin, we do like a lot of sample testing before releasing the product. And we make sure it's absolutely 100% safe.
I just think it's a lot more ethical to have a human volunteer to test something than to use it on an animal and then possibly kill them.
Because they don't have the choice.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm volunteering to test something, or even if I'm getting paid to test something, it's still in my free will. And I'm still choosing to do it. And if anything happens, it's, you know, a choice that I made consciously.
Exactly.
Is it a lot more expensive to be cruelty-free than to not be cruelty-free? Because I think that's definitely one of the biggest challenges brands face.
You know, to me, the difference is not that bad to newbie in general. I don't know about other brands, but to us, it's worth it.
I think maybe it's like, the difference is bigger for like big companies. So if you tell Maybelline to go cruelty free, they'll lose a couple million a month, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Maybelline's cruelty free or not, but I know that L'Oreal is not, from what I've last heard. I'm not sure. However,
yeah, L'Oreal isn't. Maybe all the drugstore ones aren't.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but however, it may be. It's just like I don't know. Like, it depends on how you choose to run your business. That's totally a personal choice. But to me, it's just. It's a matter of, like, being ethical.
What, in your opinion, is the future of cruelty-free or eco-friendly brands? Is your brand eco-friendly? I didn't ask.
Not at the moment, no. But we're working towards it. We want to be sustainable in the future.
Okay. What is, in your opinion, the future of cruelty-free brands in Egypt? Are you seeing more kind of build up on the horizon, or do you think they just don't care?
I'm seeing a lot of more natural brands in Egypt in general, which is a great thing. It's amazing. However, I believe that the future lies in sustainability because, for example, like that's my goal for Newbie. Once we grow, we're going to switch to a completely sustainable way of packaging, you know, and because I just believe that, like, it's at the end of the day, you have to be mindful of what you do to the planet. You know, right now we're not entirely sustainable, but we try as much as we can to be.
Because you're also a small brand, I was saying.
Yeah, we're still small, so it's a bit more difficult right now. But however, when it grows, hopefully, we're totally going to switch completely. The Body Shop is a level 5 on the sustainability scale. They're an amazing, amazing brand. Everything to their core is about being sustainable, and I fully love them.
Mm-hmm. What's the sustainability scale? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So it's a scale that determines like whether or not your company is sustainable, you know. So there's like level 1, which means I believe that level 1 is like not entirely sustainable, and then there's like a level where you have to be sustainable because the government tells you so. And there's the level 5, which is like you're sustainable to your core because it's the core belief of the company, which is the Body Shop.
Okay. So that's the highest, like, so it's levels 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. I love the Body Shop. They have a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it like being a young female entrepreneur in such a big industry like the beauty or like the beauty industry?
Well, it's definitely very difficult. I'm not going to lie, but you know, it's a thrill to me. Like, I don't know, I don't know if you know Gary Vee. He's this speaker online. He's like a motivational speaker. He says a lot of great things, and he said something that sticks to me to this day. I'm not going to quote it directly because it has cursing in it, but I'm gonna like say my version of it. He says that you have to love the struggle. You have to love the process of struggling and trying to make it work and being up crazy hours. And, you know, it's definitely a lot harder because you're a young woman, you know, but it's just part of it. And then when like I do what I want to do, hopefully then I can say like I made it despite of that. And in fact, like being a young woman empowered me even more to do what I want to do.
I always found it really funny that big industries such as the beauty industry or even lingerie industries or, you know, menstrual cycle product industries are heavily dominated by men, even though there are industries that are directed towards women. And I think it is at least fair to have 50% female working it. I'm forgetting all the words. To have women work in industries that are directed towards them. So I think it's really cool, and I'm really proud of all the women and all the women-owned beauty brands that are opening in Egypt.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a matter of diversifying the workforce, you know. You need more women. Absolutely. In the workforce.
You need more women, period.
Yes.
What did you study in uni? Or are you still in uni? I thought you were out of it. It's crazy that you're 19.
Oh my god, thank you. Well, I'm currently studying sustainable design engineering.
Are you studying it in Egypt?
Yeah, I am.
Tell me, let's just speak about being a woman for a little bit, because I think that's a really important thing to speak about right now, especially with the movement going on, the womanhood movement. And I think we're doing a lot of great things. I think there is definitely a lot of force and opposition, and I don't understand why there's force to women asking to not be raped. But what do you think? I don't know. Where do we start? It's a very big topic of conversation. How do you feel about the womanhood movement? How have you participated in it?
I'm 100% a feminist. Yes, as much as there is stigma around this word. Yeah, I think there's a lot of stigma around it because it's just not properly understood. Being a feminist is not just fighting for women. It's being, first of all, you have to be an intersectional feminist, which means you fight for all women of colors and of ethnicities and religions. Like, nobody is an exception. And mm-hmm. It's also fighting for men, because men suffer too, and they have, like, they don't suffer as much as we do, obviously, but they also have their own struggles that we need, like,
they still suffer.
Exactly. For example, men are not allowed to feel, like, any emotion, or there's, like, a huge stigma of toxic masculinity that they're not allowed to feel, period, which is, I think, ridiculous, because they're still human at the end of the day. So
makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, so I believe that part of the women movement is working hand in hand and not just, we hate you, we're against you, you know?
Because we don't. That's not what it's about. That's literally not what it's about.
Exactly. We're just trying to level the playing field.
Literally, I don't know where people got the idea that me saying I don't want to be touched without my consent equals me saying I hate men. Like, where I just don't want to be disrespected. What does that have anything to do with me hating men? Don't understand.
Yeah. It's about, like, getting the respect that we deserve, and it's about getting the safety that we deserve.
100%. And I think the hardest part about this entire movement is that it's not like the people that you're fighting are, because people try to speak about rapists like they're these vile creatures and like they're these animals, and they're not. They're normal people who live among us, who look normal, who act fine, who have an education, who are well-dressed, who are not to be classist, but people are classist, and they're like, oh, but he's, you know, not educated enough, or he's from a lower class. They're upperclassmen, and they still do these things. And
yeah,
and that's
all the time
the problem. The people can't get it through their heads that you don't necessarily have to be a bad person yani, quote unquote, and like what people think. You don't have to be a monster looking just to be a bad to be like a rapist or
yeah.
Or
well, he's offender. Not gonna get like a label on his forehead that says like, "Watch out." You know, he could be a perfectly fine person, and then once he gets a chance, he attacks. So you never know.
You literally never know. And it's so terrible because men also get it's weird that men are making this about them. They're like getting offended and like, oh, not all men, but who cares? If I give you, I say yeah, all the time, well, if I give you a pack of Skittles and I say 25% of them are poison, you are not going to put your hand in it. I don't care. You might get one that's poison, you might get one that's not, but do I look like I care? I don't want to die.
Yeah, true.
I think we're moving forward in a good way. That's what I think. I think giving women the opportunities to speak
definitely. I think we're much better than where we were, let's say, like 5 years ago. It's a much better progress.
And we've done this in like 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. This started like very recently. So I'm very excited to see about what the future holds for this movement.
Speak to me a little bit about what you want to do in terms of being a powerful woman empowering young girls. What's the message that you want to get across? Okay, let me rephrase this. If you could pick one lesson or one message to imprint on the world and to have every single girl, little girl, teenager, woman see, what would it be?
It would definitely be resilience.
Mm.
Like, that's the one word that I would try to get across as much as I could. Because you're going to get a lot of no's. I still, to this day, get a million no's and then one yes. And if somebody just doesn't want to help you, you can make it happen yourself. If you're alone, you can do it yourself. If you're all of the odds are against you, you can still do it. That's the lesson that I want to provide. Because at some point, I felt like the entire world was against me. And I was like, no, you know what? Well, I'm going to fight it.
I think that's kind of like the really beautiful thing about your brand is that it kept coming back to you.
Yeah, it's a part of me now. And it's like, really, it's just part of who I am.
Where do you see the brand going in the next 5 years?
Well, hopefully, inshallah, I see it, you know, I really want to grow as much as I can. And I want to provide, like, I want to provide this different playing field for the makeup industry in Egypt. I really want to create fun things that are, like, embracing creativity and embracing makeup more and being more, having more fun with your beauty experience rather than just targeting your insecurities and being like, you'll be ugly if you don't buy this product, which a lot of brands do, but I'm not a believer of that. I believe that makeup can enhance your beauty, but you don't need it. But it's a really fun thing to have.
I think makeup is really fun. I wear makeup, but I'll say I wear makeup like 3 of the 7 days of the week, and the 3 days are, I'd say, one of them is because I look tired and 2 of them is because I feel like it. Yesterday I did a really blue look for no reason. I had a birthday party and it feels really good, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like you're painting on your face.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to really do. Fun.
My favorite makeup product is 100% eyeshadow.
Oh, me too. I love eyeshadow, one of my top favorite ones.
Okay. That's it.
We're done?
We are done.
You're a great host.
Can you believe? You're a wonderful guest. You're honestly so nice and you give and take and it's really cute.
Oh, thank you.
It was so nice having you on.
It is so nice.
Thank you for being on.
Being here.
Thank you so much for being here and thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And I want you to continue and I will be cheering you on from the sidelines because women need to support women, and I think that's a thing that we also need to work on a little bit because I don't think people necessarily do that a lot. But I'm absolutely 100% so proud of you, and I hope that you get everywhere that you want to get. Ooh, one last thing before we go. I always do this with my guests. I forgot to tell you beforehand, but let's hope that you have some people on hand. I always ask my guests to shout out 3 or more artists, musicians, entrepreneurs, brands, whatever you want. It can just be your friend, but we want to send out some love to the world and add to the love pond. So you can think about it for a bit.
Oh my God, wait, I think I already have the answer.
Okay, yay.
Okay, so it can be any artist, no matter how big or small.
It can be anyone. Yes.
Okay, one of my favorite artists of all time is Harry Styles, mainly because he challenges a lot of stereotypes that are made around men, and he just does whatever he wants, which is something I find amazing. My second favorite is... I have so many, I can't even choose. My mom. Yeah, my mom. I think she's... No, she's definitely, like, everything I believe in, she's taught me. She's definitely one of the most hardworking, strong women that I know. And I think she just inspires me in every single way. And every day she pushes me to be better and better. And she's just genuinely a wonderful mom.
Shout out to mom.
Shout out to mom. And the third person? My high school English teacher, Mrs. Sternthal. She's definitely one of the reasons why I am who I am today. Not that I'm saying, like, I'm perfect. Like, I still have a long way to go. Yeah. Well, she's a wonderful human being who always taught, because she said that teaching was just her passion for life and that she loves it, and that the day she wakes up and she doesn't want to do it anymore, she won't. But generally, I found that beautiful, that she just pursued her passion and she pursued what she wanted in life and made such a beautiful thing out of it, teaching kids and just being an amazingly positive person in general. So she just inspired me to pursue what I love instead of what I think I should do.
That's so beautiful.
Or what people think I should do. Yeah. So shout out to Mrs. Sternthal as well.
Shout out to Mrs. Sternthal. It was such a wonderful time having you here. I'm so happy that you said yes. I'm so proud of your brand. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And everything that you stand for. This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much.